Hello and welcome to the True Travel Podcast with me, Laura Sanders. If you've just watched the season finale of the BBC's Race Across the World and you're as gutted as I am that it's over, then keep listening as I've got this year's winners Kathy and Trish on to tell us about the experience. If you're not listening from the UK and you're unfamiliar with the show, the idea is that pairs of ordinary Brits with not much travel experience are challenged to win an epic race across the world, as the name suggests. There's only two rules: no smartphones and no flights. They're each given the equivalent of their airfare in cash and some tips for picking up casual work along the way, but other than that, it's up to them how they get to their checkpoints, and as budgets run low, they have to get creative. Season 1 was from London to Singapore, Season 2 from Mexico to Argentina, and this year we saw the pairs make their way across Canada. But make no mistake, crossing this one huge country was equally as challenging. Over the past 8 weeks, we've watched the candidates cross 6 time zones with their backpacks and a good old-fashioned map in hand. They started in Stanley Park in Vancouver and finished up in St. John's in Newfoundland and Labrador. Along the way, they've taken buses, trains, ferries and lifts from kind strangers as they frantically race their way to the checkpoints. Two pairs ran out of time or money, which meant only 3 made it to the finish line. It's been a gripping watch, and that final episode kept us guessing right up until the last minute, when we saw childhood best friends Kathy and Trish hurtling up the steps in St. John's to find out they've won the race and £20,000. I've caught up with them to find out what they've been up to since and whether the experience has inspired them to travel more. Hi ladies, congratulations. How are you feeling?
Thank you so much. Overwhelmed, amazed, just fantastic.
How's it been since you got back and got back to normal life?
It's been a little bit bad for me actually, because I've changed jobs, my husband's been unwell, so my life has completely really changed, but trying to get back to kind of civilization and normalization, it's been a bit madness. But also we've had to keep everything really quiet, so pretending to be everything's fine, and inside you're going, we won!
I can imagine. Yes, yeah, absolutely. I mean, did you ever imagine you'd enter something like this and then go on to win it as well?
I didn't. It's all Trisha's fault.
It's always my fault. I always get her into trouble. So I'd watched series 1 and 2 and thought it's a really good idea, really good concept of seeing the world without actually having to pay for it, kind of. So, yeah, I applied for it and then said to Kathy, can you just do a 1-minute video for it? So she did. And then a couple of weeks, well, about 6 months later, we got a phone call. And then Kathy went, what is it we're doing this for? what is this about?
It was a bit like that, yeah, because there was a massive delay because of COVID. Yeah. So, you know, we applied back in 2019, and then we got the call that Trish is referring to. It was like, I think it was about November 2021. And then suddenly it becomes real, like, wow, you know, we're actually going to do this. It was scary and exciting both at the same time.
Again, we couldn't say anything to anybody, so we just had to keep everything quiet. It felt very much like we were swans. So on the top, you were just going smooth, but underneath, you're going, ah!
Oh, my gosh, yeah. And, you know, I suppose you put it out of your minds with it being such a long gap between applying and then getting that phone call. And then at the time, did you know you were going to Canada, or was that, did you not know where you were applying to?
No, we had no idea. They didn't actually tell us where we were going until the morning before the flight.
Oh, wow.
So we were at the airport, and that's when they told us where we were going. So we had no idea.
My gosh, I bet your hearts were in your throats, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really exciting. I've never been to Canada, so I was like, oh, one of the places I've always kind of wanted to go. I was really excited. And strangely excited for Tim Hortons as well, because, you know, Kathy and Gareth have talked about Tim Hortons or Timmy's. I'm now so over Tim Hortons.
Really? No. Yeah. So had you two ever even travelled together before?
No, we hadn't travelled together. We've been on a couple of holidays, but not traveling holidays. So it's the longest time we've spent together since we were teenagers. So it was a completely new experience in all senses of the word.
We have done some crazy experiences together. So we've walked marathons together. We've walked 100 kilometre non-stop together. So we've done kind of challenges together, but not anything near this.
No. Oh, amazing. So you were kind of prepped for all the walking when no one could give you a lift then. But yeah, nothing like this.
Yes.
And, you know, especially watching the later episodes when everyone's getting a bit tired and a bit fed up and spending 24 hours a day around someone, were there any tense moments that we didn't see on camera?
There was in episode 7, I think me and Kathy had, it wasn't a tense moment as such. Kathy was missing home a lot. I was tired. I had a bad back. So we were kind of just grizzly, I think the word is, not just with each other, but just as a whole. So I think in episode 7, you saw us kind of going, but I think that was just purely because we were both tired. And, you know, after 7 weeks, it does get to you, to be fair.
Absolutely, it does. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think that rather than being annoyed with each other, we just got a bit tetchy, I think. And so the slightest little thing would become more than it was. So no, I think our friendship remained 100% intact right throughout the whole time.
That's amazing. And having been friends for so long, is there anything new you learned about each other on this trip?
We've been asked this a lot, actually. And my answer is that there's nothing new I've learned. I knew already that, you know, Trish is this incredibly strong and brave and tenacious person who can overcome, you know, huge difficulties. I also know and already knew that she's mad as a box of frogs, and hilariously funny, very, very kind, very loving, very thoughtful. And whenever I'm with her, she makes me feel incredible. And I already knew that about her. And our time together was a fantastic opportunity to spend a huge amount of time with my best friend. And we had loads of laughs. We supported each other. And it just cemented everything that we already knew about each other.
I'm tearing up over here. And I think Trish is too. Trish.
I am. I agree with everything that she says, but the other way around.
Short and sweet answer there. I love it. That's so, so lovely to hear. You know, it's so rare to have a friendship that's lasted the test of time and the test of race across the world
definitely.
Now. So fantastic. On that then, you know, what were some of your highlights and what were some of the worst bits about it?
One of my lowlights was, I know everybody keeps saying about the gondola going up Banff. That was scary. But the lowest part of the whole race, and it still gets to me now, is when that horrible man asked for $600 for the car ride, and Kathy started getting an anxiety attack, and she was just awful. And all I wanted to do was give her a big kutch and a hug and just make sure she was okay. And it was, even now, remembering how that was awful. It was horrendous.
You feel very vulnerable as a backpacker, don't you? I mean, I've experienced this, and particularly when you don't have a lot of money as well and you are relying on the kindness of strangers. So perfectly understandable, that situation. What about one of your high days then, Trish? What was one of your favourite days or favourite things that you'd seen on the trip?
Oh, there were so many, so many. Spending time with Kathy was the best part of the whole thing. Spending a whole 8 weeks with her, I could have sat in a room for 8 weeks with her, you know, and it would have been amazing. But this was just kind of added extra, you know. But yes, for me, the spending the time with her, but also seeing going through the Rocky Mountains, it was just absolutely stunning. With my eyesight, the way it is, I didn't think I would see as much as I did. And to see the kind of Rockies right there was just phenomenal. And yeah, it was, and to have that experience with Kathy, just yeah, amazing, amazing, amazing.
Oh, Kathy, what about you?
I think definitely I'd have to agree with Trish with regards to the lowest point. It was a real kick to the guts. We'd not long
Yeah.
prior to that, I think we'd been let down by a guy who thought it would be funny to tell us he'd give us a lift and then just not turn up. And then to
Sorry.
have the other guy then tell us that he wanted $600, which incidentally was three times the cost of him filling his fuel tank, just to give it some perspective. I just that was the first time that we'd experienced someone not being generous in Canada, because Canada, the people there are so generous and so kind, and that was our first experience of it. And you're right, you do feel vulnerable. And because we were in the race, we had these heightened emotions, so everything was exaggerated. So you could go from complete elation to total despair within a few seconds, and that was exactly what had happened in that case. And I didn't know how to deal with it. I didn't know what to say, and I just sat down because I could feel myself getting quite tight-chested. So that really was the lowest point. For me, there's so many high points. Like Trish said, being able to spend a concentrated amount of time with your best mate doing silly stuff is just the best tonic for life. Absolutely. I love Churchill. But my best top moment had to be standing by the side of the lake in Jade City, where we'd done the cabin. And that lake, it just blew me away. Absolutely blew me away. And I don't think I'll ever have that experience again. And that's my go-to place in my head when things are getting a bit overwhelming.
It's a beautiful lake. I think I'd agree with you there. Not that I've been to Canada, but I've looked at all of this scenery, has been watching the series, and it's breathtaking. So yeah, absolutely amazing. So going back to, hitching lifts off people, some were more successful than others throughout the series. Some had, you all had good days of it, you all had bad days of it. Have you got any tips for hitchhiking? I imagine it was very nerve-wracking at first. Like, what made it successful? How did you successfully convince a stranger to give you a lift?
Well, I think the first thing to say is that hitchhiking is not actually legal, in certainly not in British Columbia. So we weren't able to flag any lifts down. What we were able to do was approach people who were parked. So I don't know. You've got to be brave.
You've also got to be very brash and just go for it.
Yeah.
Sorry, Kathy, I interrupted, but she was very much out of her comfort zone asking for lifts, whereas I'm very much a bull in a china shop and just get it done. But Kathy did jump out of her comfort zone and do it, and she was really, really good at it. I think because we're quite chatty people, so you just schmooze up to them and say how you doing, and just being ourselves. That's you can't. I mean, we had as many knockbacks as everybody else did, to be perfectly honest with you. We have people going, "No, what are you doing?" But you just kind of have to dust those off and then carry on. And I think that's what we were really good at doing. We're saying, like, well, he said no, he's having a bad day. Let's crack on with the next person. And I think we were very good at bouncing back like that.
Yeah, I agree. I think we had to because, for us it was the timing was a huge thing. So we didn't have time to wallow. We just had to get on with it. I think we did have an advantage over the other teams. Two middle-aged women. I think perhaps
are seen as less threatening than other pairs. So I think we did have an advantage there. But I think you try and chat with the person first. So don't go straight in and say, you know, can you give us a lift? It's sort of, if they've got a dog, make a fuss of their dog, or, you know, mention their car, or, you know, something, just to get a conversation going. And then you can ask them, you know, could you take us on your way? Could you drop us off somewhere? So, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, thinking about it now, I'd be quite nervous about just walking up to a stranger and asking for a lift. But I suppose in that moment when you're desperate to win the race as well, and you've got something really pushing you, you do jump out of your comfort zone. You just do it, don't you?
Yeah, you have to.
And there was one instance that it was just after we came out of Twin Peaks. We walked into the middle of nowhere by a beach, and we were like, oh, there's absolutely nobody here. And there was a woman walking her dog. So I just went, oh, hello, and started talking to the dog and started talking to her. And then Kathy started talking to the lady, and then she said, oh, well, where are you going? And we said, and she went, oh, I'll give you a lift, because we kind of schmoozed her, you know. She wasn't doing anything that day, so we were like, well, do you fancy a trip? She's like, yeah. So, yeah.
Why not? Yeah, brilliant. Now, going back to, you know, you two being two middle-aged women, and during the series you joke about, you know, being in menopause doing this and really enjoying your midlife crisis and all of that. But in all seriousness, you also said that as you get older, you feel like you become more invisible. Do you think that doing this challenge now and winning it has challenged stereotypes?
For myself, yes, in a way. I think people are overseen as kind of, you know, you've had your kids are growing up, it's all about your kids, or it's things like that. But that's a stereotypical thing. It's not everybody. I mean, I do not fit in that box in any way, shape or form. You know, so it's only people that want to be kind of, or don't get out there and do it, are kind of overseen. I know it's in pushed a few friends of mine to say, actually, you know what, I'm going to go and do it. And they're a little bit younger than us, but they've kind of gone, yeah, well, if you can do it, I can. So, yeah, hopefully it's inspired people.
That's great. And of course, you, Trish, as well, you have problems with your eyesight. So I think that's really highlighted that you can do this. And do you feel like it's made you feel like you can do more now as well?
I had quite a bit of help from RNIB before I went anywhere, about just like little things like taking a digital camera, for instance, you know, because I can't see long distances and stuff, taking photos and then zooming them in there and then while I'm there. So, yes, I mean, like I said, I got a lot of hints and tips from them. But yeah, it still makes you kind of want to do stuff. You know, my eyesight doesn't stop me from doing anything apart from driving, but then I can always be the I can never be the nominated driver, so I can always have a glass of wine. So, you know, there's always a silver lining, you know.
Silver linings. Exactly. Yes, absolutely,
exactly.
That's great. Now, Kathy, how much did you know about where the others were along the race? How much, you know, did the crew tell you or give you any hints about where you were in the race, or did you just absolutely know nothing until you arrived at the checkpoint?
We had no idea. So our crew, they weren't really involved. They didn't give us any guidance. They didn't give us any sort of physical aid or anything like that. Basically, Trish and I were there with the crew, but the crew were purely there to film and record us. So they didn't give us any information about anything. So we had no idea where the other teams were. We had no idea where we were in the race. We literally just had to go our way, do what we felt was right. And when we got to that red book and we put our sweaty menopausal hands down on it and plucked up the courage to turn the page, that's when we found out where we were. We literally had no idea before that.
I mean, if we did know, do you think we would have spent 5.5 hours getting out of Stanley Park?
That's very true, yeah. You well, you two really clawed it back, didn't you, from that moment to, you know, winning that race at the end. And what was it like at the end? I imagine it was just so tense reaching that very final stop.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah. and they made us climb up hundreds of steps as well, so yeah, we couldn't speak because we couldn't breathe. it was very tense because you know that that's the last one, and you desperately want to get there first, but you've got no idea where anybody else is. So yeah, it's actually quite stressful. but when you turn that book and you find out, and we found out that we'd won, it was just incredible, just unbelievable. I think we both kind of screamed, and I think I turned around on the top of the cliff and I just shouted.
You did.
At the top of my voice.
You did.
Nobody, but I just had to do it.
I think also when you run into that, to the red book, especially on the last one, it's kind of like you're running to finish something. And because we've had such an amazing time, it's actually a little bit sad as well, because we were finishing this thing. And it was like, I'm not going to spend any more time out here with Kathy. It's a bittersweet, you know. But yeah, that opening of that book, oh my good God. You don't even have to be menopausal. It just makes you sweaty, doesn't it, Kathy?
I should think so after climbing all of those steps.
Just one or two.
Amazing. So we've touched on this a little bit already, but how has this experience changed you both?
It certainly made me appreciate my surroundings more. It's made me realise what's really important in life and what's not important in life. Spending time with family and friends, and also the importance of family. It's something that we picked up from the First Nation people in Canada, was how important their families were. It made me realise that I don't see my parents enough, or my brother, that we live in different areas of the UK. So it really brought home to me that, you know, spending time with family and with Trish, and we have another friend, who they're the family that we choose, and spending time with them is so important, and getting the most out of life, I think, and appreciating what's around us.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with Kathy. I think it also taught me that actually it's okay to be not okay, and it's okay to ask for help. I'm not very good at asking for help at all. I'm one that goes, no, I'm fine. I think I can have that on my headstone. I'm fine. But it's okay to be not okay and having a bad day.
Absolutely. A very important message there, Trish. And of course, you know, you had to have the news of your husband being unwell while you were out there, and you had to lean on the people around you. And Kathy as well, definitely. It certainly puts things into perspective, doesn't it, what's important in life. I know I've always found that when I've been off travelling. And the importance of money as well.
That's
precious money is.
Yeah, get a frosty.
Oh, brilliant. Well, then I guess the only thing I have left to ask you ladies is what next?
Well, I'm in October trekking on the Great Wall of China. I think it's 7 days trek on the Great Wall of China. But myself and Kathy are going to do the Shine Walk in London, which is a marathon overnight in London.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. And Kathy, what about you? Have you got any big adventures planned now? Is it giving you the bug?
Oh, we've definitely got the bug. In fact, Gareth, my husband, and I, we're off to Thailand on Monday. And instead of doing our usual go and sit on a beach for 2 weeks holiday, it's actually a three-part holiday where we'll be in the city for a few days in Bangkok. And then we're transferring to the rainforest, and we're going to be staying in the Elephant Hills Rainforest Park. And then we're going down to Phuket, but from there we're going to be doing various trips to different parts. So that's already a big change for us, because our default was 2 weeks on the beach. So I'm really excited about that. And I'm really hoping to be able to do the China trek with Trisha in October, but Gareth and I have just bought a house and the timing is just a bit tricky. So fingers crossed that that will still come off. And then for 2024, we haven't made any plans yet, Trish, have we? But who knows?
Well, you've both certainly been bitten by the travel bug, and that sounds incredible. Trish, I've not done China, so I'm really keen to see how that goes. And Kathy, I hope you make it. I have been to Thailand. I've done Bangkok, Phuket, some of the islands, and I can say without a shadow of a doubt, it's amazing. So you'll have a fantastic time.
Thank you.
It's been brilliant to catch up with you ladies. Enjoy the adventures to come. And I look forward to seeing what you get up to next.
Oh, you're welcome. It's just been a pleasure.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Laura.
Thanks so much for coming on.